We talk about this baby right here. And everybody loves baby Jesus. I don't know most people that don't. They love baby Jesus. But many times they don't like the man he grew up to be. Because the man he grew up to be pointed out their sin. But the whole reason he came was to seek and to save that which was lost. He came, love is what brought him here. Love is what put God himself, that's what Emmanuel means, God in the flesh. Let's go ahead and open up, if we would, to Matthew chapter 1. Don't take my word for it. I want you to see what the Bible says about it. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18, if you would. I promise I won't keep us here past 12:30, okay? Some of you are laughing. Others of you are like, he's serious. He can stay go that long. I won't do that. I'm just kidding. Matthew 1:18, it says, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Let's pray. Father, I just ask you to help now. Help me to be clear in what I have to say, Lord, and I pray your message, your word, would go out with power and conviction, Lord. And if there's anyone here today that doesn't know you as their Savior, I pray they would trust you as their Savior today. They'd receive that gift of eternal life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So what does Emmanuel mean? What does it mean that the Lord himself came down to be in a human body, in the form of a baby? He didn't come as a full-grown man. Think about that. God himself humbled himself, subjected himself to sinful human parents. Think about that one. I mean, how many times were they wrong? And he probably just wanted to be like, yeah, you're wrong. I mean, how many, do any parents like that when our kids correct us? Even if they're right, you look at them like, you little, you know, I mean, we don't like that. We don't like to be corrected. And Jesus was always right. But he humbled himself. He limited himself. And he came in a little body. Emmanuel, God with us. That's what this is about. It's about him coming here to be born. But not just that, for him to go beyond that. And 33 years later, to die on the cross. A bloody, gruesome, horrible, wretched death. Torturous death. To pay your sin debt and my sin debt. We think, oh, it's just a little lie that killed our Savior. It's that serious. That's how serious your sin is. See, we don't see it for all its ugliness. We try and excuse it because, well, everybody lies. You know, most everyone I know steals. So what's the big deal? You know, it's not that big a deal. If I rip off my work, if I steal some, you know, supplies from work, what's the big deal? Well, cost that baby a lot. He died for it. See, we want to excuse our sin, though. That's why I say everybody loves the baby. But not everybody loves the man that he grew up to be. When he started pointing out the hypocrisy, I've heard it so many times, you know, I don't go to church because of all the hypocrites. And I get it. There's some validity to that. There's a lot of validity to that. Jesus, when he came here, he had most of his harsh saying was for religious hypocrites, those that played the part but didn't live it. They acted like a Christian, but lived like the devil. And his harshest rebuke was towards those type of people. See, the man is different than the cute baby. We like the cute little baby. How wonderful, the cute little baby. But they hunted down and killed the man. When we're celebrating the birth of Christ, we need to always look beyond that to what he ultimately came to do. Luke 19:10 says, the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. We look at our text here in Matthew chapter 1. You know, birth's always exciting. I mean, we have several ladies in our church right now are expecting some like any second, literally any second right now, could be giving birth. Now, you know, when you think about a baby coming, there's a lot of planning, a lot of excitement. I mean, you're excited about it. It really does just turn everything around and just makes things crazy. It can absolutely do that. A baby truly does change everything. Now put yourself in Mary's position. Ladies, if you've been pregnant before, you're 8, 9 months pregnant. You're forced to leave your home on a hazardous journey. Now, this journey from Galilee to Bethlehem, as they say, as the crow flies, a straight shot, if you could just go in a straight shot at 70 miles. But to walk it would be 90 miles. 4-day journey. 90 miles. Likely, we know they're poor because as you read through the story and the offering that they give the offering of poor people, two pigeons to dedicate their child. They give a poor person's offering. So we know they didn't have money, so likely they were walking. They might have had a donkey, we don't know, but it's cute to see her up here, isn't it? But they likely walked all that way, 90 miles in 4-day journey, and it was dangerous to travel back then. It's not like it was safe. People get robbed and everything else, but that's what she had to go on. Ladies, who wants to sign up for that 9 months pregnant? Miss Bernice? No way. Miss Katie? Nope. I don't even want to do that. Not pregnant. I've never been pregnant. I don't even want to do that. But all of this drama, all this crazy circumstances that we read about going on right here are taking place so that they would know that a Savior's come. So that certain people would know that a Savior had come. Again, lots of times at this time of year, people get caught up in the festivities of the season that we forget the reason we're even celebrating. It's just a great time to hang out with family and eat good food, right? Amen? I mean, who's looking forward to some tamales? Anybody? I'm looking forward to some of that. Amen. Pozole. Right? All that good stuff. Ham. I want some ham. I like the meat. It's all good to me. I like all of it. So we get caught up in that stuff and we forget what we're actually supposed to be celebrating, that it's the birth of our Savior, the birth of the Savior of the world who ultimately came to die for our sins. We forget and we lose track of that. We have to remind ourselves to step back and focus on what he came to do and why he came to do it and why he came to do it. It doesn't stop with the baby. It continues on with the God-man who died for our sins. And through all of this, as we're looking at this story here in Matthew chapter 1, Joseph is placed in a horrible predicament where he has to make an extremely difficult decision. And sometimes through no fault of our own and in God's providence, we're put in a position where we have to make a tough decision. And there's a tough decision before each and every one of us. It's placed before every one of you in here, whether you believe it or not. That decision is before you. The Bible says, as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. You will stand before God and he's going to judge you. I don't believe that. It doesn't matter. It does not matter if you believe it. It's truth. It's truth. And you will stand before God and he's going to judge you. We each have a tough decision that we have to make, and that decision is just like what Joseph had to decide to do. What are you going to do with Christ? What are you going to do with him? He had to make a decision. You see, as we read this story here, it says the birth of Christ was on this wise. When his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, so they were married, but they hadn't come together yet, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Now, men, what are you thinking happened? Your future wife, or your wife, and you haven't come together yet, what are you thinking she did? The only logical thing you could think. She committed adultery on me. How could she? This is what's going on right here. This is what's going through Joseph's mind. My wife, we just got married and she's just committed adultery on me. How could she? And it says right there, then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. He says, I'm not going to make a public example of her. I'm just going to kind of just behind the scenes, I'll just divorce her, put her away. That's what it's talking about. I'm going to put her away and just be done with it. And this is what he's thinking about. This is what's going through his mind. Man, what would you be thinking? I haven't been with her yet. We're supposed to be married. I thought she loved me. Forget her. I'm done with her. Right? Isn't that what most men would be thinking? How could she just do this? We haven't even married yet. This is what's going on in Joseph's mind. See, we remove ourselves from the Bible sometimes like it's not real. Like they didn't face real situations and real problems. But they're absolutely real problems with real people. And that this is what Joseph's facing. His wife has just cheated on him. Maybe some of you have experienced that. You're thinking of just the heartbreak and what he's going through. Because that's what he's facing. I mean, if you were marrying someone and they came and said, oh no, I'm with child of the Holy Ghost, you'd be like, nice one, yeah. That's already happened once. I'm not buying it. Right? You wouldn't believe that. Say, uh-uh. He's thinking, she cheated on me. How could she? So Joseph had to ask himself, what am I going to do with Christ? This baby that's coming. See, Joseph obviously loved Mary, that he wanted to put her away privily. That's what he was thinking. He's like, this is probably the route I'm going to take. But no doubt, as I read through this, I believe he was a praying man. It says he was a just man, meaning he wanted to do what was right. And I believe he was a praying man as well. It says in verse 20, while he thought on these things, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream. I believe he was praying about and asking God, God, what should I do? Heartbroken, weeping over this. Put yourself, if your spouse cheated on you, wouldn't you be broken and weeping? Just in torn, in tears. That's Joseph. And he's asking God, God, what should I do? What do you want me to do? And I believe he loved Mary greatly, and that's why this was such a hard decision for him. So he's asking, what do I do with my pregnant wife who's carrying someone else's child? And Joseph wanted to put her away privily because he knew the penalty for her crime. The adultery was punishable by death. You think back later as you get through the Gospels and Jesus' ministry when he's a man. And it says the Pharisees, they bring a woman to him, taken, it says, in the very act of adultery. Well, my first question always is, where's the man? Because the penalty applies to both. But they weren't concerned with that. And I don't know, just my opinion. It's not Bible, but I believe it was probably one of those men there that were accusing. But anyway, that doesn't matter. They were ready to stone her. They put it before Jesus to kill her. Why? Because it was a crime punishable by death. Leviticus 20:10 says, and the man that committeth adultery with another man's wife, even he that committeth adultery with his neighbor's wife, the adulterer and the adulteress shall surely be put to death. That's what she was facing. And Joseph's now weighing all this on his mind. What do I do? What do I do? What do I do with this child? That would have meant the end of the child. He stoned the mother. It would have been done. Just like Joseph asked himself, what do I do with Christ? We too must ask ourselves what we'll do with Christ. And as Joseph's asking himself that question, he's thinking on it, the angel of the Lord appears unto him in a dream. It goes to Joseph and it says, thou son of David. It's like he's reminding him. We don't recognize the importance of what he's saying when he says, thou son of David. See, Joseph was the rightful next king in Israel. And there's so much prophecy. I don't have time to even get into the prophecy that was fulfilled, even in just the miraculous events in coming and those two parents being the perfect parents. It had to be at that time. It had to happen when it did, and it had to be those two people because it fulfilled so much prophecy that I don't have time to get into. But when he says, thou son of David, it's almost like God's reminding Joseph. He's saying, wait a minute, don't forget about the promise of the Messiah that's going to come. I want to remind you which line you stand in. You're supposed to be the king of Israel, and that Messiah is supposed to come through your line. And by the way, both Mary and Joseph were related to King David. It had to be that way to fulfill prophecy. Don't have time to get into it, but it's amazing how God worked it all out. Because there was a curse where it said someone from the line of Jeconias, which is where Joseph was, couldn't sit on the throne. But the Messiah had to have the legal right to the throne. How's God going to overcome that? Amazing prophecies. Don't have time to get into it. Something to whet your appetite there. Think about that. But he reminds him, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. He hears a special message, reminds him, hey, son of David, that Messiah is going to come, and that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. This is a special child like nothing else that's ever been before. He hears a heavenly message, a message sent from God to him. And Joseph has a choice. What's he going to do? The angel goes on to say, she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. The name Jesus means Savior. He's a Savior. He's a Savior. Think about that. For he shall save his people from their sins. See, God wants to save us from our sins, not just from the penalty of our sins. So many people want to get out a free jail card. They want fire insurance. But they love their sin and they want to hold on to their sin, and there's no repentance in their faith coming to Christ. See, that repentance is necessary for salvation. For somebody to be born again, to have their sins forgiven, that repentance is a necessary ingredient. And repentance is a turning from my way and turning to the Lord. And I talk to a lot of people about the gospel, and many times I'll share the whole plan of salvation with them. I'll show them how they can have their sins forgiven and all that Jesus did for them. And I'll ask them, would you like to ask Christ to be your Savior now? And they'll say no. And I almost every time I'll ask them, why not? Because I want them to verbalize it and think about it. Well, most of the time what I hear is, I'm not ready to stop whatever sin it is. Stop partying. I love that, and I'm holding on to that. That's a lack of repentance. There's no repentance. There's no willing to turn from that. See, you can't hold on to another God, whatever it may be, and hold on to the Savior at the same time. You can't do that. It doesn't work like that. You have to let go of that false God. That false idea, that false belief, even if it's up here in your head, you got to turn from that sin and turn to the Savior and receive Him wholly. See, it's like the Bible talks about salvation being a gift. The gift. I'm going to ask, parents, will you help me out with this one? Do any of you have any birthday gifts or Christmas gifts that you've given to your children? Do you have any of them still left in your house and still wrapped? Just sitting there where you left it. Does anybody in here? No? Why not? Miss Katie, you've got one. Did you give it to them though? Oh, well, you haven't given it to them though. Okay. Anyone that you've given to the person? Anybody? No? Why? Because they opened it. They received it. The gift was offered, and it was received. See, the Bible says the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And with the gift, you can either receive that gift, or you can say, no, I don't want that gift. And a lot of people, they're in a tough situation like Joseph. And they're told this message. And maybe some bad things have happened in their life, things that they think are unfair. Maybe a loved one has died that they prayed for, or their marriage fell apart, or they lost a child or something horrible. And they're in a tough situation. And they look at what God did for them and they, I don't want that. Where was God when this happened? Well, He died on the cross for you. You could have eternal life, and He's offering it to you, and they'll say, I don't want that. And they'll turn away from it and leave. Again, no repentance. They want to hold on to their bitterness, whatever it is. Sin. They don't want to let go of sin. And they're staying holding on to it. And they reject that gift. And the whole time, God's standing there saying, I've got a gift for you. I've got a gift for you. Will you take it? Will you receive this gift? It's yours. It's eternal life. I'll forgive all your sins. You want it? You can have this. It's for you. And they say, I don't want that. Get that away from me. but it's still there. And that's all you can do with a gift. You can either receive it or reject it. I need two kids to help me. Who's the first two? Come on up if you raise your, come on. All right. Now this is simple. It's not going to be hard. Just stand right here. Stand right there. Okay. All you have to do, either take the gift or reject the gift, okay? You want it? Nope. Do you want it? Go sit down. Go sit down. I need two more kids. No, go sit down. I need two more kids here. They rejected it. Come on up. Whoever's next. Come on. Hurry. There you go. Do you want it? Go ahead. You can have it. Go sit down. Who's next? Come on. You hurry up. Somebody come up here. All right. This is a gift. Do you want it? Go ahead. There it is. I don't know. You parents need to talk to those kids. Help them out or something. Look, what was the condition? There was a condition for them to receive that gift. What was it? They had to come up here. They couldn't stay in their seat. They had to come up here. And then they had to receive it. There's a condition to salvation. The Bible says it's repentance and faith. And some people want to come to Christ in faith, but no repentance. Most of the time, that's what happens. I mean, I can look back as young as I can remember, as far back as I can remember, as a child growing up in the Catholic Church, hearing all that, and knowing that Jesus was born of a virgin, knowing He lived a sinless life, knowing He died on the cross, knowing He rose from the dead. I knew all of that. I knew He did it to pay for my sins. And I was still going to hell. Why? No repentance. I was full of pride. I didn't think I needed it. See, what I had to turn from, what I had to repent of, was my pride and my idolatry. Because I'm a good person. I work hard for my family. I took care of my family. I worked. I provided for them. And I was thinking, I'm a good person. And I had to repent of those things. It was idolatry. I'd made up a God in my head. I said, my God's forgiven me. Yeah, and you know who my God was at that time? Jesus said in John 8:44, "Ye are of your father, the devil, and the lusts of your father you will do." Yeah, right there. If God's not your father, I promise you, there's only one other option if you've rejected this gift. If it's not God, I'm telling you right now, if you're in this room right now, you might not like this, you might not accept it, but if you're in this room and you have never been born again, you don't know what it means to be saved, and you've thrown this down, your father's the devil. How dare you say that about me? But it's true. It's truth. That's who your father is. You're of your father, the devil. And the lust of your father you will do. That's why you run after all the sin you want to. Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. That's why we run to darkness. That's why we just show up at church. We're CEO Christians. Some of you know what that is. Others are like, what's a CEO Christian? Christmas, Easter only. Yeah, why? We don't want to be in the light. I don't want to be in the light. Keep me in the dark. Don't shine that light on my sin. Going to a bar or something, it's always dark. Why? So you can't really see what's going on, so we feel comfortable. Let's keep it dark so nobody knows exactly what's going on. I used to work in a restaurant. Quickest way to clear people out of a restaurant at the end of the shift, turn all the lights up. Everyone's like, oh, and they're gone. They just get up and start leaving. But you're of your father, the devil. If God is not your father, if you've never been born again by the grace of God, if you've never received that gift of eternal life, then you're of your father, the devil. But this baby came, so you don't have to die in your sin. God loved you. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. It's up to you what you're going to do with that gift. Will you receive it? Will you reject it? God's offering it to everyone. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's a whosoever gift. It's for anybody. For everybody. Because God died for all. Again, Luke 19:10, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. I want to real quickly go through something here just to show you the condition of where we're at, where you're at. See, God sees two classes of people. I mentioned already, one day you're going to stand before God. God sees your heart. There's no hiding things from Him. It's not like, oh, I can keep this secret from everyone, my wife, my children, my husband, my family. I can keep it secret from them. That doesn't matter. You can't keep it a secret from God. See, the Bible says that man looketh on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. And God knows everything about you. And every one of us is going to answer to God, Romans 14:12. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Everybody in here, you're going to stand before God. And you'll have to answer to Him yourself. Your spouse can't answer to Him for you. Your children can't answer to Him for you. You can't answer for your children. Each person's going to stand before God and give account. And God is going to judge us according to truth. Romans 2:2, but we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. So His judgment is according to truth. He will judge you based on truth, and that truth is the Word of God. Sanctify them through Thy truth. Thy Word is truth. John 17:17. He's going to judge you on this book, and really the standard He's going to hold you to is the Ten Commandments. We could bring in other commandments, but that's enough. It leaves every one of us condemned. How many times do you have to lie to be a liar? Just once, right? Is there anyone in here that hasn't lied? No, I didn't think so. You know, the Bible says in Revelation 21:8, all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire. All liars are going to the lake of fire. You're going to burn. You shouldn't say that. Why? It's true. You're trying to scare people into heaven. No, I'm trying to tell you the truth. Make an educated decision. Most people walk around blind. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to know about it. We went out yesterday, freezing cold outside, but we went out yesterday to share the gospel with people, and some of them are just like, man, I don't really think about that. Brother Dominic was telling me about somebody he spoke with. He said, you ever think about, you know, what's going to happen when you die? And they're like, not really. Why? Just keep me ignorant. Ignorance is bliss. All right, everything's good. If I don't know, I'm okay. Well, I don't want to read that. Then I might find out something I'm doing wrong. You're still going to be judged by this book. Y'all liars are going to the lake of fire. Steal something. You're a thief. The Bible says no thief shall inherit the kingdom of God. I guarantee we go through it. If you're honest enough with yourself, everybody in here has broken every one of the Ten Commandments. I've never killed anybody, but you hated somebody. And Jesus said that's the same as murder. You hate your brother, you're a murderer. I've never committed adultery. You look with lust, Jesus said, you're an adulterer. Well, but God's loving and forgiving. Yeah, if you take this gift, what do you think He's going to do if you reject it? What His Son did, the torture, the beating that His Son took for you on the cross. If you say this, I don't want it, then what do you think He's going to do? He's going to come, He's going to say, it's okay, that didn't really matter what my Son did on the cross. Come on in. No, the Bible says the wrath of God abides on you. Go to John 3:18. John chapter 3, verse 18. So what's He going to do if you reject that gift? He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Why? He rejected that gift. He said, I don't want it. You're already condemned. The verse before that says, for God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. I heard somebody the other day saying, oh, you show me anywhere where Jesus condemned anyone. Well, my Bible says Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. People want to like try and distinguish God in the Old Testament and God in the New Testament. They're one and the same, and they're both the same. There's no difference between them. God's just revealing a different part of Himself, more so in the New Testament. He revealed it in the Old Testament too, but He's revealing more of it in the New Testament. So in the New Testament, we see more of His grace and love and His mercy. But you still see all of that in the Old Testament. He's still the same. He left us condemned. Why? Because we've broken His commandments. Because we sinned against Him. That's why he didn't come to condemn us, because we're already condemned. Because you're a liar, a thief, a murderer, a blasphemer, an adulterer. disobedient to your parents. You're covetous, which is idolatry. That's why he's not coming to condemn you, because you're already condemned. Everybody in here, you're already condemned. Unless you've received this gift. Unless you asked for this. You took it at one point. You bowed your knee to God and said, God, not my way. Lord, your way. I'll take the gift. Please, Lord, save me. And you wanted to hold on to this gift. You wanted this. It's not like, oh, yeah, okay, I'll kind of take it. A lot of Christians look at salvation. It's a joke to them. Look, if you come to the Savior and you're ready to see what He has, you're ready to receive it. Yes! Lord, yes, I'll take this. God, please, thank you. Thank you for saving me from the penalty of my sin, from the hell that I deserve. God, thank you. That'll be what's in your heart. That's what's in my heart. Can I get a witness on that? Any Christian say amen to that right there? Amen. Thank God. This is what I've got. It's not like you'll be ashamed of it. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation. Everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. I'm not ashamed of my Savior. I don't hang my head in shame. I don't worry about what people think about me because I believe in Jesus Christ. What about you? What do you do with this gift? Are you clinging to it? Are you holding on to it? Sing that song, The Old Rugged Cross, as I cling to the old rugged cross. Why? Because that meant my salvation. This gift. It's there and it's for you. What do you do with it? What do you do with it? God says it's right there. It's right there for you. John 3:36 tells us, He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but get this, but the wrath of God abideth on him. God's wrath. See, we don't like to think about that. I'm telling you, we don't like the man that came. We like the cute little baby that we can hold, that doesn't say anything, that doesn't judge sin. We like this. But we don't like the man that came and had this message, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Go to Romans chapter 2, if you would, please. Romans 2:5 says, But after thy hardness and impenitent heart treasurest up unto thyself wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. Get this, verse 6, who will render to every man according to his deeds. God's going to give to every one of us according to our deeds. And if we've thrown that gift on the floor and we said, I don't want it, we rejected what his Son did for us, what do you think God's going to do when he gives to every one of us according to our deeds? When we've rejected it. You think it's going to be heaven? You really think you're going to heaven? Think you have any hope? See, it's either you receive this gift and you get heaven, eternal life, or you reject it and you're going to the lake of fire for eternity. There's no getting out. It's not purgatory. There's none of that. You won't ever find that in the Bible. Purgatory is a good way to make money. And that's all it is. It's a lie from the father of lies, the devil. You decide what you're going to do with that gift, if you'll receive it, if you'll accept it. God, as I said, puts people in two groups, those with the relationship and those without. You're either lost or saved. Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. That means we're so lost we can't save ourselves. It's like if you took a child into the middle of the forest and you just left them out there. There's no way they're going to get their way out of there. They're lost. The only way they will be saved, their life will be spared, is if somebody goes in and rescues them. That's the only way it's going to happen. They'll never get themselves out of the middle of the forest. They're lost. That's a predicament we're in. We're lost. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. That's us. And we can't save ourselves. That's why we need a Savior. Jesus, Savior. So you're either lost or you're saved. Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Like if you were out in the middle of the ocean and somebody came and rescued you, they saved you, you're saved. You're either unrighteous or you're righteous. Unrighteous means we're not right in God's eyes. We all start life in this category. 1 Corinthians 6, 9 and 10. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. You're not going to get it. Don't fool yourself. Don't deceive yourself. Romans 3:10, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. So you're either unrighteous or you're righteous. Righteous biblically is being declared right. And that's something that's done to a man and for a man, not by a man. Meaning I can't do it myself. God does it for me. God declares me right, justified, just as if I'd never sinned. Amen. Why? Because I'm under the blood, because I received the gift of Jesus Christ. So God looks at me now and he sees none of my sin. He declared me righteous, as righteous as Jesus Christ, sinless. That's what we need. Get to heaven. Have our sins forgiven. So you're either unrighteous or you're righteous. You're either unforgiven or you're forgiven. You're either enemies with God or you're reconciled to God. An enemy is fighting and wanting our own way. This puts distance between us. Romans 5:10, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. When we were enemies. See, if you won't look at yourself and see yourself that at one point in your life you were God's enemy, you're not a candidate to be saved yet because you don't think you need it. You don't think you're lost. You got to come to the point where you realize you're God's enemy, where you realize you're against him. Think, oh no, I love God. Not if you don't agree with what he says about you. Is he wrong and you're right then? God's lying when he told us that we were his enemies? I don't think his enemies are going to heaven. So you have to see yourself how God sees you. And that's what so many people don't want to do. They say, you're so harsh. How can you say all these things? Because it's truth. I tell you all this because I love you. Whether you believe that or not, I tell you because I love you. Because I could comfort you with a lie and you still go to hell. The Catholic Church did for me. You're okay. You're good. You went to church today? You're good. Twice a year? Oh, you got it made. No. We got to see ourselves how God sees us. His enemy, as lost, unforgiven. We're either condemned or justified. John 3:18, we read that. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. And justified, that legal term declaring someone to be righteous. Romans 5:1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Justified by faith. See, that's that belief to receive this gift. By faith, repentance is me turning. I've fought against this my whole life. I don't want that. And then I finally say, wait a minute. I'm God's enemy. I'm in trouble. I'm not forgiven. I'm under wrath. I'm condemned. And I say, wait a minute. And I turn. And I say, that's not so bad anymore. And then by faith, I say, Lord, I'm trusting what you did when you died on the cross and rose from the dead. Lord, please forgive me. Save me. And then you come and you cling to it. And you say, I want this now. I need this. By faith. By faith. Well, there it is for you, what Christmas is all about. A Savior that came to die for you, to offer you eternal life. What will you do with it? What will you do with this gift? We had some reject a gift. Said, no, I don't want it. And we laughed. Why did we laugh? Somebody help me out. Why did we laugh when they rejected it? Go ahead, say it. Because we knew they really wanted it, But they said no. What are you, crazy? Yeah, why didn't you? That was a free dollar. I mean, who doesn't want it? Some of the adults were like, give that to me. Right? I mean, because it's, what? You didn't want it? It was crazy. We'll do that all the time with this gift, with eternal life. You think, what are you, crazy? You don't want this? They don't want it because they love their sin. They want their sin more. The pleasures of sin for a season. There's no denying it. There's fun in sin for a season. But then harvest time comes, and you get to reap what you sowed, and you get more of it, and it's for longer. You might be in the midst right now of sowing. I'm living it up. I'm loving it. But I promise you won't be saying that when harvest time comes. You won't. Turn from that. Take this gift. They're for you. Doesn't matter what anybody thinks. I guarantee you come and you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior this morning. People in here will rejoice. I had to bow my knee to the Lord, and I wept with tears asking Him to save me, to forgive me, to give me eternal life. When I realized that I was as bad as He said I was. Until I came to that point, I didn't want what He had. But when I realized I was that bad, that's when I came. It's mine. I want it. And He changed my life. He made me a new creature. He'll do the same thing for you. This gift is for anybody. And it's right there. We have this invitation. If you want it, you come down now. You receive it. That gift, that represents our salvation. But we have to ask Jesus for it. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You cry out from your hearts, Lord, save me. God, forgive me. I don't want to die in my sin. I don't want to die and go to hell. See, the Savior came to save us from our sin. That's why He came. You say, everyone thinks I'm saved. My whole family thinks I'm saved, and I'm not. Well, if they love the Lord, they'll rejoice if you do get saved. Don't worry about it. If everyone thinks you're saved, if you know you're not and God knows you're not, it won't matter because they won't give an account for you on Judgment Day. You will stand before God yourself. Do you have that gift or not? Do you have eternal life or not? You can either receive it or reject it. What are we going to do with it? Let's pray. Lord, we love You. We thank You for Your word. Thank You, God, for dying on the cross for us. Lord, for coming here as a babe to pay our sin debt because You loved us, Lord. And I pray, God, those that are here, if they've never been born again, they don't know what it means to be saved. They would, just like Joseph, they'd look and they'd ask themselves, what am I going to do with Christ? And Lord, this morning they would come down, they'd sit on this front pew and I can talk with them. I can show them how they can have their sins forgiven. Or send someone to talk to them. Lord, please, I pray that if there's anyone in here like that, they're fighting You right now. Lord, that they would surrender. They'd find that place of repentance and they would receive the gift of eternal life. Please, Lord, work in their hearts. Don't let them leave here. Keep them uncomfortable. Lord, help them trust You as their Savior. Please, God. And those of us that know You as Savior, Lord, that we would be like Joseph and we would obey the vision. Obey what You ask us to do, Lord. Help us to follow You, to point others to You. Please bless this time now, Lord, and those that maybe aren't saved, this morning they would trust You as their Savior. Please, Lord, work in their hearts. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.